Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Tales of mystery and imagination on the radio show that does things differently.
Dolly Parton, I listen to a record that they love.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I'm a nut job, but not that kind of nut job.
On Talk Radio.
Honest to God, it's the new Breaking Bad.
Oh no!
Let's try this one. Good evening, Lauren.
Hello there.
Hello. Alas, it's a real human being.
I'm trying.
What you got for us, Lauren?
Well, first of all, we can say hello, and I can't wait for Sunday.
Yay, Sunday. 5 tickets left for Sunday. Ticketsource.co.uk/Ian-Lee.
Yeah, I'm making a day of it. I'm going to the aquarium with someone else from YouTube, Katie.
Well, it's going to be an interesting old night. I don't know if it's going to work. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not going to work, but it'll be an interesting 2 hours. The rare chance to see one of Britain's biggest celebrities and Catherine Boyle involved in an on-stage car crash.
I might not come.
Oh God.
You don't need me.
No.
You're a big celebrity.
If at first you don't succeed, try again, and if the haters going to hate, then they were going to hate anyway.
Haters are going to hate. Can I talk to you, Lauren?
You may.
Can I talk to you honestly and openly?
Yes.
So I'm getting called out on Twitter for bullying and making fun of someone who is autistic, right? And there was a phone call before the show from the sister of this person, and they were very, very angry. And Catherine took the phone call, and they were so angry I could hear what the other person was saying down the phone. Because there was a lot of shouting, and there was a lot of Catherine going, "No, well, no, if you just let me speak." And she kept her cool beautifully. And the other person was upset because they'd found a video on my YouTube channel from quite a long time ago of this particular caller involved in, I don't even remember exactly what it was.
I think it might have been like a Britain's Got Talent or Apprentice style thing. He was pitching a show.
Okay. Well, listen, I don't want to give away too much.
Yeah.
It was the usual show banter, the tone of the show, okay, which some people get, which you get, Lauren. But it's the tone of the show is what is going to mean that this is never going to have a million listeners. You know, we're always going to be a cult. And this person was very upset because they'd obviously never heard the show before and didn't know that their brother called in, and was very, very upset. And Catherine did an excellent job of kind of placating the situation and saying, well, we'll find the video, and if it's on, you know, if it's on Ian's channel, we'll get it taken down and all of this. And I thought this kind of happened just before the show started, in the first 10 minutes of the show. And I thought it was sorted. Did you think it was sorted, or did you not think it was sorted?
I knew she was really angry.
Yeah, I understand her anger.
And I get it.
I understand her anger completely.
She doesn't listen to the show, so she can't see anything other than the fact that, as far as she's concerned, her brother had been on and everyone was laughing at him. I thought that I asked her, you know, I tried to ask her what I could do to resolve it with her. I made some suggestions and I've done them. So I hoped that that would maybe go some way towards making up for her offence, and she'd taken huge offence, and we get it.
Hey,
and
listen,
that's never the way we wanted it to be.
You know, younger brother, older brothers and sisters. Of course, we want to protect our.
Especially if you feel your brother is vulnerable and someone's taken the mick. I get it. Okay. She's probably spent her whole life protecting him.
You could go back, would you do it again?
No.
Knowing what we know now, how could we?
No. No. So I thought that was that. And then I'm being tweeted by members of the family. And they're very angry. And my initial reaction when the sister tweeted me was I blocked her. My initial reaction, I've taken the video down, I blocked her. Then I unblocked her. It's difficult to have these kind of conversations on Twitter anyway, and especially when the show is going on. So then I unblocked her, and I can tell you what I said. So the tweet was, excuse me, Talk Radio, you need to sort this out. You even uploaded a video onto YouTube. How dare you, Ian Lee, exploit my vulnerable autistic brother live on radio for your own entertainment. Disgusting. So I replied eventually. I've got to find it now. Look, I don't really understand how Twitter works. Here we go. We had no idea he was autistic. The video has been removed. Everybody is allowed on. Your suggestion we disallow people with speech impediments is discrimination. I'm genuinely sorry and wish you and your family peace and love. And the argument kind of went back and forth. And there's only so much I can do. And she's now kind of her latest tweet is all the Ian Lee fans tweeting me like I give a damn. The production team need to be told when things go too far and offend. Simple. OK, well, you've told us. And we've responded. I'd love to know what else you want us to do. Then the brothers started getting involved. And Lauren, I know you've not called in for this, but the hell, I feel like I can trust you. The brother got involved. How are you going to make fun of my autistic brother? You people should be ashamed. My little autistic brother, you people would be ashamed of yourselves. Is this what you think is a decent thing to do? Is this how you treat people? You think parading a disabled man on YouTube for jokes is entertainment? That one got me, Lauren. That one got me, right? But here's the one. And I'm going to read this. I find this so upsetting, Lauren. So upsetting, because it is the complete antithesis of what I stand for now. And
what this show is.
Yeah. He says, you've been my little brother. This is the brother. You've been my little brother's hero for years. Both he and I looked up to you and thought you were funny. To see you do this to him is absolutely heartbreaking. He idolised you and watched absolutely everything you ever did, and you just shit on him for jokes.
That tweet also revealed something else. So the brother is a fan of yours as well, and he doesn't get that that's your thing. Also, his little brother called in of his own free will as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not all on you.
No, it isn't on me, but he idolised you and watched absolutely everything you ever did, and you just shit on him for jokes. And so now I'm thinking, well, so now I feel bad, Lauren. Now I feel awful, I'm genuinely upset. And when I read that about 11:15, I was thinking, do you know what? I don't think I can do the rest of the show. Can we get the John Ronson interview and play that again? I thought, I don't think I can do the rest of the show because that is so upsetting. And I can feel it in my chest. Now, the fact I can feel it in my chest makes me think maybe there's something in it. Maybe there is something in what he says. That we shit on people for jokes.
I don't think you do, because people who call in either call the wrong radio station or they know what they're calling for.
Do they? This is the thing. Do they? Do all of them?
The argument is this person didn't, really. That they were vulnerable and we should have spotted it.
And
actually, once we did spot it, we stopped the calls, didn't we?
I don't quite buy that we did. I think we should have called it on the first. I think I should have called it on the first call.
But I do
call.
Definitely remember you saying to him, do you know what? I don't think we need to.
But then I should have stopped taking his call. Mm. That's what I should have done. And
people don't walk around with signs above their head saying what's wrong with them. Unless he said something, you can't blame yourself for not knowing. Neither can his family.
There were clues. There were certainly clues. And so I'm thinking, well, do I shit on people for jokes? I certainly used to. The 11 o'clock show, that's what it was based on. You know, 20 years ago, that's what it was based on. And LBC, there was possibly an element of that. Absolute, possibly an element of that. And I like to think that this show is this cuddly, friendly, let's all talk about mental health, let's all get touchy-feely, peace and love, hey, aren't the Beatles great kind of show. And I have to seriously reconsider, Lauren, that actually, possibly, maybe, there is a meaner undercurrent that exists within me and within the show. And maybe this was... Maybe this was mean. Maybe this was mean. Maybe this was mean. I don't know, right? And it's really upset me, Lauren. It's upset me because I've offended this family. I don't want to offend a family. And I'm certainly not going to get drawn into an argument with them. I've put forward my case and I've wished them the best. They think it's patronising, but it genuinely isn't. So I've put forward, you know, I've said, look, sorry, and I wish you peace and love, and we've taken the video down, and I'm sorry. And they're not buying that, and that's fine. That's totally within their right to not buy it. So I'm upset that I've upset them. But I'm also upset that maybe, just maybe, the tone of the show has not been as pure as I have tricked myself into believing that it is. And that maybe, just maybe, there is an element of meanness. And the fact that I am this close to bursting into tears says to me that there's probably an element of truth in that.
It would be worse if you didn't feel guilty.
Oh, well, no, in some ways it would be better because I could just tell them to F off and steam on with it, you know. But I'm not in a position in my life where I can tell people to F off and steam on with things, you know.
The worst thing about it, other than the fact that they're so angry and they're so upset, is that we can't fix it for them straight away. We've done everything we can at this point. All that we can say now is that we're just going to examine our actions more carefully. There are a whole number of callers now.
Set out to offend or hurt anybody.
See, I'm wondering now whether there are certain callers that we shouldn't have on anymore. Is it fair?
Yeah, there's a couple of callers where we think, well, maybe they're not quite as aware of... you can piss off. You can piss off Ofcom, Ofcom bloke. I've lost my train of thought now because he's tweeted in.
Okay. There are some callers where obviously they're having a good time, but are they fully aware of how they're coming across? Do you know what I mean?
But you can not be aware of how someone's coming across, especially on Twitter. You're limited in characters. You can't hear emotion or sarcasm or offence through a tweet.
Mm. I know.
I think what
you
happens...
just have to learn from it and do your best.
Yeah.
You can't let it get too much. What... You can't take it all on you.
No, but we can put some things in place. And I think that some things we'll need to put in place are that me and Catherine will have to have a little chat, and that maybe there are a couple of people that perhaps... we should not allow on anymore. Because I don't want the show to be a freak show, you know, and I don't want it to be laughing at people that are different. And maybe it has been, and that is not appropriate, really. That is not appropriate.
But you're also having and provoking a debate. You didn't know when this person called in. Now you do. You're putting things in place.
Yeah.
You need to look at the positives as well, or it is going to make you burst into tears and... If so, just put on Africa and bugger off.
Yeah. Anyway, what did you call in for?
To say hello. And now you've got me Googling baked Alaska places in London to go with Katie.
Hey, what is this thing that places do now called concretes?
What?
There's a new diner that's opened up in just off Leicester Square, and it says... frozen custards, which sound delicious, burgers, ice creams, concretes. What's a concrete?
Oh, Katie, we're going there to find out then.
All right, go and find out what concrete is. Just off Leicester Square. Off Leicester Square. I'll tell you where it is. It's opposite the theatre where the Harry Potter play is on.
All right, I'll have to have a look on Google. But listen, smile in a non-sarcastic way and... can I make a request for a song, please?
Oh, yes, of course you can. Go on.
Well, I don't know if you've heard of this one. It's called Africa. It's by Toto.
Okay.
But I quite like 8-bit versions. I did tweet one to you. So if you can find a one like that, I'd love to hear it.
Okay, you'd like an 8-bit version of the hit song Africa.
I don't know if you heard it.
By Toto. Let's see. I think... Hang on just one second, Lauren. Does this work for you, Lauren?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. And smile.
Thank you.
Experience the unconventional.
Evening, boss.
The unpredictable.
What's happening?
And the completely unorthodox.
Exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee. The late-night alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
Do, wouldn't it? 03444991000. We've disappeared a little bit up our own wazoos as we reassess the ethics, the morals of this show. And I'm not doing this so you can all phone in and go, oh yeah, we love you and we think you're brilliant and you're such a great guy. It's not why I'm doing it at all. And you know, but most of you will know that's not why I'm doing it. It's something I'm sure is suspicious. But I genuinely, you know, it has been brought to my attention that a family is upset about how we treated, you know, their brother and their son. And that breaks my heart, man. That actually breaks my heart. And we will finish the show. We've got another 54 minutes to go before Paul Ross comes on and does his thing. Maybe in that instance... Most of the other instances, I'm pretty cool. Maybe in that instance, we did get it. No, sorry. Maybe in that instance, I did get it wrong. We'll kind of see what we've got to do. We've got a load of calls. So if you've been waiting for a while, I apologise. Let's get through these. Let's go to Kerry. Good evening, Kerry.
Hi.
Hey, Kerry, how you doing?
Not too bad, thank you.
Good. What you got for us?
I listen most evenings and I watch you on YouTube. I've never rung or anything before, but I was watching and seeing how genuinely you're upset you were. And this is coming from my daughter. I've got 3 children. My daughter's 21 and she's severely autistic. You know, she wouldn't be able to call into your radio station. Her level of disability is very severe.
Yes.
But just talking from a perspective from a family with a member of the family with a severe disability or any disability, what Catherine said hit the nail on the head when she said that the brother has probably spent his whole life defending, being protective towards their brother. And as a mother and my 2 sons, we're the same with my daughter.
Yeah.
So I can understand their initial, what might appear as an extreme reaction to what they've discovered. I can understand that because it's just within themselves. They've had to do it for so many years. I've had to do it myself.
Yeah.
So what I suspect, I don't know what will happen, is that they will calm down, they will settle down and look at it a bit more rationally and be able to understand more from where you're coming from. I can see where you're coming from and I can see you genuinely didn't mean any offence at all. And I would tell you if I thought you did.
Good.
Because of coming from that perspective. So, but it just upset me watching you. And I could, if nobody, they hadn't seen you on YouTube, I was watching you and I could see how genuinely you were both upset. And don't stop doing what you're doing. But I think it would be a good time to maybe stop and try and learn from these things.
Yes. Oh, God, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Catherine and I, during the break, have already... Well, we can name at least one caller. Here's the thing. Catherine came up with a brilliant definition. Do we think they are in on the joke? Because the show is a joke. The whole show is a joke, right? It's a joke. Do we think they are in on the joke?
Are we laughing with them or are we laughing at or about them?
And
that's right,
we can certainly think... We've certainly come up with one caller. We think, actually, they're probably not in on the joke.
No.
So...
Not fully. Not fully enough to know what's going on.
No. No. And once or twice... couple of listeners, I felt, I'm not quite comfortable with that.
Yeah.
But that's a tiny minority out of them. But yes, I think that's something that you could perhaps look at and just think, if it makes you feel that uncomfortable, you're not sure, maybe it's better to move on and go on to people where they're capable of being in on the joke.
Yeah, maybe. I think that might be the way forward.
Yeah.
Hey, Kerry, Go on.
It's not. It's difficult. It's difficult. But just from a mother who's got a daughter like that, I really feel for you this evening, and just keep up with what you do so well.
Thanks, Kerry. I appreciate that. I'm getting tweets now shaming me and things, and that makes me feel lousy. Thank you, Kerry. I appreciate that. Let's go to Emily. Good evening, Emily.
Hey, Ian.
Hey, Emily. How are you? The second call, man. Emily's getting addicted. She's getting addicted.
Well, I was half listening just now. I apologise, but I just felt the need to phone in and just not kiss ass or anything, but just to affirm that it's such a important place to show for people who can feel like they could call in. And just to say, I've never felt excluded from the show. I've always felt very welcome.
Sorry, Emily, what were you saying? I was only half listening. I do apologise.
Oh, he's horrible. He's horrible.
I'm sorry, I'm teasing. Our philosophy has always, and thank you for that, Emily, our philosophy has always been, everybody is welcome to call. People with speech difficulty, everybody is welcome to call. And the fact that we are now saying, Catherine and I are saying, well, maybe not everybody is welcome to call, that breaks my heart because it feels like a huge betrayal of the ethos of what I do. But I think it's probably necessary, and it's certainly something we have to think about because I don't... I don't know. I'm going to cry.
I know exactly what you're talking about because you don't want to hurt anyone and you don't want anyone to be hurt because they hear their family member being on and, you know, and sounding vulnerable. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. And it's a difficult one to navigate. I understand.
I actually think it's really important that this has happened tonight. Maybe we needed to just have a rethink. You know, I'm just sorry that a family has been so hurt and offended in the process. You know, it was never the intention. But, you know, we'll do what we can about it. We're never going to fix it for them, I don't think.
Hey, Emily, your sister's got balls, hasn't she? Did you see her sister? I can't remember her name. What's her name?
Ellen.
Yes. Did you see her? Yeah. She tweeted the clip of Emily calling in and stuff. And as I often do when people tweet that I've not seen before, sometimes I'll go and look at their Twitter biogs and their feeds and stuff. And I was looking at your sister, and she... I can't quite work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Look at what she is apart from nuts. She went to a Comic-Con expo, you know, like a cosplay type thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Dressed up as the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which is this brilliant American sitcom. Is that the one that we started watching? Is that the one where they're in the they start off in the bunker?
Yes.
So So her sister went. There's a scene in it which we didn't get to, Kath, where she is kind of dancing in New York City with her flatmate who's dressed up as Iron Man. So her sister went to this cosplay thing dressed as Kimmy Schmidt, and she looked spot on, right? And she's going up to all these Iron Men things and doing the dance pose with them. And a lot of them didn't get it, but did it.
Yes.
And a couple of them got it. And there's just the... And the, I was looking at these pictures in hysterics.
Wonderful.
In hysterics. What? Now, Emily, I didn't dwell too long, so I didn't want to be like that stalker bloke we had on who pushed dog poo through a woman's letterbox. But is she a comedian?
She's a YouTuber. So, yeah, she is in that area. Yeah.
I'm going to look at some of the videos. She was very, very funny. It was not because I was go on.
A gaming YouTuber, so
okay.
Even better.
I'm going to go and have a little look because I'm always moved when there's support from a family, and she was, you know, very proud of you. And then I looked at these pictures and I was just laughing, man. It was funny. I'm going to go and check out some of her videos.
Cool.
Nice one, Emily. Always lovely to talk to you.
I'll see you on Sunday.
See you on Sunday. It's going to be a car crash. See you later. Bye. Yeah. It's funny, man. Let's go to Sally. Good evening, Sally.
Hello,
Sally.
Hello, you all right?
Yeah, good, thanks.
You all right? Yeah.
Yeah, no, not really. Feeling lousy.
No, yeah, I know. Well, I was going to say, right, my son's autistic and he has ADHD. And we find it's very difficult to try and get them to live as normal life as possible. You know, the schools are involved and other professionals and things like that. So the idea that my son couldn't phone up a show like yours and say something funny or something wacky or something because a few people are going to take the mickey out of him.
Yeah.
To then have to tell him, you know what, Jack, you can't phone Ian tonight because you're autistic. And people are taking the mickey out of you. I would say balls to him.
Oh.
You know, he should, you know, yeah, he's autistic. He's going to say funny things. He's going to say weird things, strange things.
But there are autism is a spectrum, as we hear. So there are levels of autism. And I would imagine that means there are levels of awareness.
Yeah. But there are levels within that person, too. One day he could be sensible and then the next day completely different. So you could have different, you know, types of calls from him.
Yeah.
So what do you do about that? What? How do you police that? You know, my son should be able to say what he wants to say without people taking the mick. And if they do take the mick, he should be able to carry on saying the things that he wants to say.
I'm going to tread very carefully because I don't want to name anybody, right? But there is a caller that Catherine and I are a suggestion that perhaps we use this phrase in on the joke, out of the joke, right? And there is a caller that phones in. Do I need to say any more? Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, I think I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay. There is an older caller that we think maybe isn't in on the joke.
Yeah.
But he's very lucid when he calls in.
He gets a real kick out of calling.
He enjoys calling in. Is he in on the joke enough, Sally, to be part of the show, for example, or are we laughing at him? That's a tough one, man, isn't it?
It is a tough one. And the person I think you're talking about is, it brings him joy to do what he's doing. It gives him a purpose, you know, it's like a purpose for him to ring.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've probably been a bit about him in the past, you know, maybe not got it, you know, clocked on to maybe that he's slightly, I think he's autistic personally.
Mm.
But it's very difficult. It's difficult. What do you do?
And he does come on. He comes on and he wants to do his thing. He wants to entertain.
Yeah.
And he wants to have a joke. Are we laughing at him, though? Or is it with affection because we've come to know him? You know,
I think it's quite endearing. I think this person in particular, I think we're all very fond of.
But their family member, if they found a video and it was just a, you know, whatever, 2-minute clip or whatever, it would look like we were ripping the piss out of him, wouldn't it?
But to you know what, with people with autism, my son comes out with things that we just sit there and it's hilarious. And what do we do? Do we not laugh at the things that he says because he's autistic? You know, he will say things that are funny. Mm. You know. You know, we were sat on a train once and he was looking at a bottle of water and it said, and he was really looking confused. And I said to him, what's wrong? And he said, it says still water on the bottle. I said, yeah. And he said, but it's moving. And everybody around us just cracked out laughing because it was a funny thing, but...
Well, that's different when a family does it. That's different when a family does it than when some bloke who's getting paid quite a few quid on the radio does it, isn't it?
No, but there were other people who other passengers who thought what he said was funny. And you know what do I do? It was funny. They probably would have guessed that he was on the spectrum to come out with something like that. But they say things that are funny, and you can't, you know. Control how you know what you react to it.
It's a minefield, that's the thing, and it would be better off just not even engaging, which is awful. That breaks my heart, even thinking that.
Yeah,
maybe we just don't let anybody call in. Maybe we just don't have any fun.
Everyone's on the spectrum to a certain degree, anyway. And I mean, you know.
Oh dear. All right. Nice one, Sally. Thank you.
I don't know. Anyway.
Cheers.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Simon, Kieran, Chris, stay there. Come to you in a bit. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
We're disappearing slightly up our own wazoo, but it's, I think it's an important conversation. Let's go to Kieran. Good evening, Kieran.
Oh, hi.
Hey, Kieran.
Hiya. And I feel a bit redundant now because I think people have made the point that I wanted to make.
Make it better than those losers, Kieran. Go on, you can do it.
Okay. Well, then if I can just remind you of the interview that you had earlier on in the week of the young woman who had the petrol attack.
Yeah, Kirsten, yeah.
Yes. And then I would never normally listen kind of to anything like that because if I picture it and then I feel bad for the family and, you know. But that I stuck with it and then it was a wonderful interview. And then they told a story about being in a restaurant, and then one of the young people had and the Mickey Mouse ears on, and the waiter made a joke, and then the dad made another joke about one person having two sets of ears, and then another family member not having any ears at all, and I was mortified at that, you know. And that it was a funny story for them, but I was like, oh my God, and that I would never say anything like that.
But really, it made you uncomfortable. Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Yeah, but they are a family, and they all laughed around that table, and I imagine you probably felt a little bit, oh, okay then, you know. Yeah, but they are a family, and they can say things. And then that's how families work.
Yeah, of course.
What you and Kath have nurtured is like a radio family.
Oh, gosh, you're going to say how the age you are, Kieran.
And then I phoned up a long time ago, and then we started talking about my stutter, and then I think it ended with you doing some over-the-radio and the hypnotherapy. And then actually shouting at me because of I had a stutter.
Oh, yeah, that was it. We shouted.
Yeah. And I loved every single second of that because I felt part of the family, part of the gang. And if anyone calls up, if they are a repeat caller, I genuinely believe they are part of the family and they are part of the gang. So, you know, I don't know exactly the people that you're talking about, but if they are a repeat caller, they are getting a lot out of that. And I think that's kind of something that should be remembered. Because if they felt hurt, you know, like if I felt hurt and I thought that he was taking the mickey, I would never call back. I would stop listening. But then these people don't do that. They can answer the phone up and they entertain and they get a massive buzz out of it.
But
because they are family.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. I think the problem we have is whether they are too vulnerable to realise that it's not just... They get a buzz out of it, but do they understand that they're being funny for a different reason?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And are we laughing at them for a different reason?
Well, and they can have only you two know that, right? Because if only you two know that, if you're laughing at them or with them, I think we know the answer, And they can, but also, if people who are vulnerable are phoning up late-night talk radio shows, surely someone should know about that. Mm. You know, like if I had someone in my car and they were making phone calls to a radio station, I'd kind of want to know what was going on. I'd kind of want to know what they were getting out of it. And then if there was a form of bullying. So I don't think the kind of responsibility is kind of fully on you guys, because I think it's great that you're thinking about it and actually going, you know, the kind of what is our mission statement. I think that's wonderful, but I don't think all of the burden should be on you guys.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Kieran. You've said some really powerful things. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Stop stammering! Stop stammering!
I'm cured.
There we go. It worked again! It worked again! You're a good sport, man. Thank you, Kieran.
Okay,
cheers,
bye-bye.
Ta-ta. It did work.
Didn't you say, wasn't it something about if he shouts back, he doesn't stammer? There we go.
He had me going then.
And me. But, you know, I think it's right we question it.
Hey, Chris.
Hello, mate. How you doing?
Welcome to the Giggle Factory. what have you called in to laugh about tonight?
Hello, Kath. You're right.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Good stuff. I normally call, I don't call that regularly, but when I do call, it's normally quite formulated. I've kind of made notes to myself to hit, so I know what I want to talk about and stuff. Yeah. Was watching telly and I just had a glance on Twitter and saw what I saw, and I just felt compelled to call you. Mm. So I'm going to do my best trying to make whatever lame point it is that I'm trying to make, probably very badly, listening to the other callers. I think I'm in big trouble, but I will do my best. Sure. So I actually had a family member with disability, my brother. He passed away when he was 8 and I was 3, so I don't really have any memories of him. But he was very severely disabled in a number of different ways. And I spent most of my life, and I still continue to spend most of my life, fighting against the use of the S word in relation to disabled people. I can't even bring myself to say
it. Just walking away to turn the aircon down, but I can still hear you. Sorry.
Okay, Treacle.
There you go. Right, I'm coming back. Go.
He's coming back slowly.
I got into so many fights when I was a kid because somebody said it and stuff. And still to this day, I tackle people head on. I do it a little bit more, less aggressively, and more just from a reasoned point of view. Yeah. Because I, as far as I'm concerned, the use of that kind of word is as bad as using the N word with relation to people of colour or whatever. It's the same thing. Yeah. Anyway, however, I kind of relatively recently, I kind of looked back over. I was reminiscing over my time at college, and I was in a drama group with and there was a lad in this sort of drama club who had Down syndrome. Mm. And he was a lovely fella, very typical of people with Down syndrome. He was a big tank of a lad, but lovely, gentle as anything. And but he had some quirks, shall we say. Mm. He told us about scripts that he was writing, and they always involved Inspector Clouseau and Lieutenant Frank Drebin. Those were the two wicked characters.
Well, that would be a brilliant script. Those two together.
Yeah, and the scripts were always called To Catch a Thief. Didn't matter what the story was, the title was always To Catch a Thief. Mm. So he used to, you know, tell us all this stuff, and he also had this other very odd habit of he would walk into the rehearsal room. And there's normally tables and chairs about, and he would lie face down on top of the table, very still, for a moment.
Yeah.
And then he would grind, I think, is probably the word I'm reaching for here.
Yep.
Now, we laughed, and I kind of, I don't know why it came into my head, but it came into my head, and I suddenly thought, God, I've been doing all of this, what I see as fighting for my brother and his legacy, for want of a better word, and protecting him, and am I being hypocritical? Because I was reacting in that way to this young lad. But the more I thought about it, and it kind of got compounded recently when I started doing some voluntary work with a number of people with disabilities of all sorts, physical and mental. And they're, again, they say, they come out with funny things, they do funny things and all this. And I laughed. But I noticed that the staff, you know, who are paid to do this for a living, they are as well. But I think, and again, you know, I think this point's probably been already made, and it's probably been made a lot better and succinctly than me, but there, I feel like there's a difference between pointing and laughing and just reacting. Do you know what I mean?
I get
you've
that.
You've got kids, I've got kids, you know what it's like, Cass got kids, you know, they say something inappropriate and you know it's wrong to laugh, but you can't help it. It's an honest reaction to it. As long as that person's not being victimised, I don't feel, and I don't know what this call was that spurred this all on. I'm not familiar with it, and you know, if I heard it, I don't know. Perhaps I'd have a different opinion. But that, you know, from an outsider, that's kind of my thoughts on it in terms of also my family history. I guess the other thing that came to mind whilst I was waiting was I remembered. Do you remember when Katie Price had her son on?
Oh yeah, he called everyone the C word. Yeah,
and he dropped the C bomb. He said, "Hello, UC."
Yeah.
Now
that's funny.
Can anyone tell me that's not funny?
Yeah, that's funny. It's funny, isn't it?
Was that laughing at him, or was it just funny? Do you mean I feel like there's a difference there.
Yeah, there is a difference. I think it's funny because, you know, daytime television is so well protected, and for someone just to casually and, you know, drop that the biggest of all the swear words,
but also perfectly in context.
Yeah, perfectly in context. And yeah,
I mean, to be honest, that's how I greet people.
Yeah, well, exactly. But it's.
I mean, you're lucky I didn't say it tonight.
It's funny because of that. It's not funny because it was a boy with disabilities. I don't know what the correct term is, but you know, it wasn't funny because of his disabilities.
Yeah.
It was funny because someone said the biggest swear word on Loose Women or whatever it was, and that was funny.
But this lad, this voluntary place, called Ashley. And I'm not sure what exactly his condition is, but again, I mean, he's huge. He's absolutely massive. He's probably, I'd say he's as tall as having met you. He's definitely as tall as you.
Right.
But he is probably almost half as wide as well.
Yeah.
And I can't repeat what he said because it was filthy. But he was just, he was singing. He loves music, much like my brother did. He loves music, and he was singing along to his song. He sang very falsetto, and I said, "Blimey, that was a bit high, mate. You're gonna break my glasses in a minute." And then he proceeded to then go higher and higher and higher with obscenities.
Oh, there we go.
And I was laughing my head off him, and then I stopped and I said, "I'm really sorry. I shouldn't be laughing at you like that." And he was like, "Why? Because I'm trying to make you laugh, Tomo."
There we go. Yeah.
You can't. This is no way trying to invalidate what this family are feeling. But then from the flip side of it, I've been in their place where you're fiercely overprotective, and you do you know what I mean? Sometimes you can't see the I don't know what I'm trying to say. You can't see the woods for the trees kind of thing, do you know?
It was a shock for them to find it. I get it. It was a shock for them to find it on YouTube.
And it was a shock for you to get the message that you've been getting tonight from as well. And, you know, as I can hear it, whilst the feed was on, I could see that you're both, you know, devastated. And I think that's a true sign of how it's made you feel. Because if you didn't care, you wouldn't be reacting that way. But you both have said that's never been our intention. I know that as a long-term listener of not only this show, but of all the radio that you've done, Ian. And I can't say I always agree with everything that you do. What? Funny enough, I was listening to an old podcast of this show at work today, and you were having an argument with someone, and I was shouting at you.
I'm going right off this guy.
This is about to turn.
Turns out he's an idiot.
Experience the unconventional.
Evening, boys.
The unpredictable.
What's happening?
And the completely unorthodox.
Exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.